Well, we're continuing on in the book of Hebrews, and we will be, as you see in your bulletin, in chapter 5. What's happening is we are skipping the first part of chapter 5 right now because really the text for today, which is chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 12, it's really parenthetical. What I mean by that is that the author starts off in chapter 5, and he's going to begin now talking about an important subject in the book of Hebrews, which is Jesus is our high priest. We've talked about that a little bit, and he's going to get into a topic that maybe some of you have studied, Melchizedek, and the first part of chapter 5, he begins that, and then in the second part of chapter 6, he continues that, or maybe in chapter 7, he continues it. So this is the thing. It's really tough sometimes to split up scripture, and sometimes it just doesn't, you know, flow together. So what we're going to have to do is, in the coming weeks, kind of come back to the first part of chapter 5 and tie that into chapter 7, because he's talking about the same thing in those verses. Melchizedek, Jesus our high priest. And so we hopefully will be able to do that in the coming weeks. So that's kind of why we're skipping there. But notice in verse... notice in verse 8 of chapter 5, let's just back up for a minute. Although he was a son, Jesus, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once he was made perfect, or proved perfect, because he's always been perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and he was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So that's where we're going to have to come back to that. But now this is what the author is going to begin to do. Now we'll pick it up there in verse 11. This is the thing. The author continues to say this. God is pursuing Israel, review from the last few weeks. He wants moral transformation in his people. And the same problem 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, is the same problem today with the people of God, that we are... Many aren't really changed. It's sobering. I mean, like for me, for example, I went to church growing up. Went to youth groups and church summer camps all my life, and was very active with those sorts of things. But I hadn't had a moral transformation in my life. So even though I was baptized at age like 14, I started going to church when I was like 12. It wasn't until much later that God, by his grace, transformed my mind and my heart. I like to call it being born again. And that didn't happen when I started going to church. And it didn't happen when I started going to youth group. And it didn't for sure happen when I started going to summer camp. In our particular denomination, that was just a big fun thing for kids. It was... I always am very sensitive, and I have a passion for people like myself, that we went to church and yet there wasn't this change. And I'm always I'm looking for people like that amongst us. I just always will be. It's just kind of my experience, and we all go through different things in coming to the Lord, and I'm sure that our own lives, we have a passion for maybe somebody that came out of perhaps Catholicism, for instance, or so on. So I have a passion for people who do believe in God, do believe in Jesus, are churchgoers. They mean well, but they have not been drastically changed yet. And that's what the author's looking for in these Jewish Christians. But there's a problem in the book of Hebrews. There's a conflict. Here's the problem. The problem is these Jewish Christians are beginning to drift back to the law to get saved, to get their sins taken away. They're starting to be tempted to, I'm sure there's Jewish Christians who are, as they would follow Paul, when Paul would go and say, it's by grace you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone, some Jews would come behind him to his towns and to the cities where he planted churches, and they would try to tempt those those Greek converts or those Jewish converts to say, no, you have to become a Jew to become a Christian. So there's this big problem when Christianity began. There was an argument. The argument was, do you have to become a Jew to be a Christ follower because Christianity came out of the Jewish religion, or do you not? And these Christians in the book of Hebrews are being tempted to, maybe somebody's come into their places of worship and they're being tempted to say, you know what? No, we have to do the law of Moses to be a Christian. You see? And the writer's saying this is very dangerous, and you can drift back. Today, that would be if I were to drift back, just telling you a little bit about what happened to me. That was just a glimpse of my young life. But if I were to drift back, I would be in danger of just being it would be harder for me, I guess, because I preach, but it can happen. I could drift back to, I'm just going to church. In fact, maybe it's easier as a pastor, you can drift back to, I'm just doing this. It's like, and you can drift back to we're just going through the hoops every week. So we always have to watch ourselves, even today, that we don't that we don't drift back. Now today, the title of the sermon is dangerous, and this is the thing, is that dangerous, the writer's going to begin to say some pretty crazy things. The stuff about falling away, if you study the Bible, that's in today's text. And he's really trying to say, you guys are in danger, even though he doesn't use that exact word, you guys are in danger. You're in spiritual danger if you've become a Christian and you want to go away from Christ alone for your salvation. His atonement on the cross was enough to pay for your sins. You're in danger if you think, now that's not enough, and you have to start doing the law of Moses. Does that make sense? Remember, I said this, and I want to say it again just so everybody knows. There's nothing wrong with doing the Old Testament, the law of Moses, most of it anyways. Although there's some of it you probably wouldn't want to do. But I'll leave that for now. If you're doing it to get your sins taken away, you're using it wrong. Does that make sense? So it's okay to honor the Sabbath. It's okay to, I don't know. Paul got his hair cut and he took an oath. And he would do these things, but he knew that this isn't going to make me right before God. So you can do religious acts if you're doing them as worship to God, as long as you know that's not going to make you holy. That's not going to make you right. Only Jesus Christ, that's what the author's saying. Only Jesus' atonement on the cross can make you holy and sinless. Okay? And you're in danger if you go to any other system, any other route. Now, you're in spiritual danger. And I think that we have to watch out for this today in our own kind of way, the way we'd apply it to our lives. That I would just slip back into just doing Christianity. I just slip back into being a churchgoer. I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. And so this is what we want to do. We want to ask a question. How would you and I know if we were in spiritual danger? Do you even think it's possible that you could be in spiritual danger? I do too, Jackie. And I think that's good to have this. This is the way Paul would say it. Always be testing yourselves and make sure you're in the faith. That's what we're talking about here. Don't ever think, oh, no way, man. Not me. No, we always have to be on guard. How do I know if I ever start to see some symptoms of spiritual danger in my life? That's what we want to try to do. And here's the first one. If I start to, if I find myself ignoring the danger of becoming a lazy Christian or a lazy learner, I might be in danger. If I start ignoring the danger of being lazy in my Christianity, look at verse 11. We have much to say about Melchizedek and the high priest and all that stuff, he's going to say. But it's really hard to explain because you guys are slow to learn. Did you get that? We have much to say about Melchizedek, and I'm going to get back to it in chapter 7, he might say. But it's really hard to explain to you because you're slow learners. In other words, you guys have become lazy. Watch, verse 12. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid foods for the mature. What is he saying? I want to start talking about Melchizedek, and I'm going to get back to it, but you guys aren't even ready for us to start talking about Melchizedek, which is a pretty crazy topic if you studied it. You guys aren't even ready to start talking about these things because by this time you should have been teachers, he says in verse 12, but you're still infants. You're still baby Christians, basically. And so these guys that are drifting back toward the law in the book of Hebrews, what they're ignoring the danger of being immature. You know anybody that's been a Christian for a real long time, but yet they haven't grown? It's kind of like I was when I was between ages of 12 and, Do you know anybody like that? That's dangerous. This is a serious problem, I think. Our faith has to be fanned into flame. That's what Paul told Timothy. Hey, make sure you don't get Timothy in either 2nd or 1st Timothy. He said, Timothy, I just want to make sure you're fanning into flame your faith and the gifts God's given you. And don't level off, he told Timothy. Okay? And so I think that's what we have to do too, is we have to say, wow, my faith has to be fanned into flame. I have to make sure I'm like, I guess maybe one way to put it is I'm on fire for God, right? Maybe you're like me where there were times when I used to be really on fire for the Lord after he changed my life. And then there's other times in my life where I started kind of, and then I'd come back out of it and I'd get on fire again and something would get me pumped up and then I'd level back off. I don't know if this happened to anybody else. Maybe you're in it now. I have to constantly watch that I'm not growing, I guess I would say. Faith, your belief, has to be in action, or you're going to stop learning. You're going to stop growing, okay? This is kind of like the author said it in chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2, if you glance over there. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, speaking of Israel in the Old Testament time in the wandering of the desert. But the message they heard was no value to them because those who heard didn't combine it with faith. You see, they didn't put their faith into action. James says it. You know James, he says that faith, when it doesn't have any action, is what? Is dead. So I think that our Christian faith makes us move forward. And the writer here is saying, wow, I want to start talking to you about Melchizedek and it's going to be exciting and everything, but you're not ready. You guys should be mature enough to start talking about some pretty hardcore stuff, and you're still like babies. You're still on spiritual milk. You're not ready for the hardcore Word of God food stuff here. You're still like, you haven't been growing. How can you understand the Melchizedek when you're still on milk, when you're still... Look at verse, let's pick it up again in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. He's talking about the Word of God and topics. That there's some topics that are like milk for a baby, and it's for younger Christians. And then there's some topics like, a piece of meat. It's going to be like maybe the book of Revelation. That's solid, that's meat, right? Or Daniel, or things like this. Falling away is another one. You have to be studied up, you have to be growing in order to even, Melchizedek, to even tackle some of these issues. Therefore, chapter 6, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ, guys, and go on to maturity, you see? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, or instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. He's saying we have to move on from the foundations of Christianity. Did you notice? That's what he just said. He says, let's leave the elementary stuff of Christianity. Stuff like repentance from acts that lead to death. That's baby stuff. That's when you became a Christian, you repented from acts that lead to death and became a Christian. So that you know, you should be moved on from that now. Or salvation by grace through faith. Look again at verse 6. Let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Not doing the repentance from acts that lead to death stuff again. You know that. And about faith in God, that you're saved by grace through faith now. That's the foundation stuff. We can't go on to maturity if you haven't gotten this down. Or instructions about baptisms. Baptism by water for repentance. Baptism by the Holy Spirit. We'd have to be studied up on all of this. Instructions about laying on of hands and resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. These are the foundations of Christianity. And the writer's saying, I want to go on to deeper things. And you're still here. You're still here. So I have to be careful. And I think the writer's saying this to the readers here, and I'm saying this to us. I have to be careful if you want to follow my attitude. I have to be careful that I don't get lazy in my Christianity and stop growing. I have to be careful that I don't remain immature. That's what he's saying. I want to go on to mature things. You're not ready, so let's do this. Not talking again about all this, the foundations of the faith. I say it a lot, and I think it's one of the safest things to say in our Christianity, that we should look different this year than we did last year in our Christian faith. It's just a simple, easy, very quick way to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Have I grown in my Christianity this year? And I'm not talking about, I went 49 times this year to church. No, have you grown as a person? Are you growing in dealing with life and dealing with anger issues and just all of life, loving people? Are you growing in your Christianity? You are the one that will know more than anyone else, but I'm sure those around you could help you as well. Sometimes I don't know if I am, and I start to feel like, you know what, I've got to watch myself. My faith is the most valuable thing I have, Christ. And I have to be careful as a pastor not to think, well, I'm a pastor. In fact, I could start, some of the stuff like with me is, I remember when I went to school, and you started having to study the Bible for all your classes and things. And I went from studying the Bible all the time just for me to grow to I'm trying to keep up with my grades. I'm trying to get through school. And studying the Bible became all about academics. And it started to affect me. It's the same thing today with preparing sermons and messages. You can get into a place where you have so much time, and that time has to be taken up preparing messages, and you stop reading the Word of God for the Word of God to grow. And I can get in danger of drifting. Even thinking, well, I'm always studying the Bible. That's not even it. Is it changing you? Are you growing? Does that make sense? It's a little hard to explain, but I hope that makes sense. We have to be careful of this. Also, we have to be very careful about the danger of falling away. Now, verse 4. The verses 4 through like 6 are some of the most hotly contested verses in the Bible. And it's going to say that the writer's going to say that, you know what, you could fall away from God and not get back to Him. And people for 2,000 years have been arguing, well, what does this mean? Because some Christians believe that a Christian can't fall away from God. He saves us by His grace. And you're eternally secure. I am in that party, by the way. But there's some problems here. Now we're going to talk about this downstairs in Sunday school because we really don't have the time. So if you're listening on a podcast, sorry, but there's about four different groups of people that take these verses. They argue about what these verses mean. Verse 4. We'll talk about them downstairs. But I am not, I'll tell you what, I'm not exactly sure. This is one of those passages I think you have to crunch on the rest of your life. But I am not in the party that believes The thing is that a Christian, you cannot fall away from God if you are eternally predestined by Him to be saved. That's it. It's by grace. If He has saved you, you are saved. So I don't believe that can happen. But you can go to church and go through the Christian stuff and then turn away from Christ, and you were probably never really like morally transformed, what the author's saying, and that might be what's going on here. But this is what people dispute about the verses. We'll talk about it more downstairs. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away. And that's a very important word. That's the word we got one word we're gonna talk about downstairs. If they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they're crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. The writer's saying, look, you are in danger if you're not a growing Christian, if you're like a baby Christian when you should be growing up by now. You're in danger if you're just still on the foundations of the faith and you're not able to discuss now these deeper things I want to talk about. You're in danger of if you go back to the law of Moses. This is in context, which is like real estate, location, and scriptures, context. In context, he's saying, fall away doesn't mean you're not going to worship God anymore. Falling away, to the writer, is you're going to fall away from Christ alone for your salvation, and you're going to fall back to the law of Moses. Okay? But notice something. And that if you do that, you are subjecting Christ to public shame again. Now, let me try to explain this a little bit. If you were a Jew and you're reading this and you've become a Christian and you put your faith in Christ alone for your salvation and you're getting tempted to go back to the law of Moses, fall away or drift away or turn back to the law of Moses, if you do that, what you would be doing as a Jew, I think what the writer may be getting at, is you would be joining those Jews then that crucified Christ on the cross, and you'd be saying that His crucifixion was He was a criminal. You're taking the sides of the Jews who crucified Him, and you're putting Him to public disgrace again, which would be very bad to do. So, in other words, they're crucifying Jesus as a criminal rather than accepting His crucifixion as salvation, His death, burial, and resurrection as salvation. But I want you to notice something about this, that it's kind of like, it's kind of a hypothetical, I believe, I'm in the camp that's sort of like, this seems a little bit hypothetical, right? That if you were to do this, this would happen, but I'm not saying you are. In fact, the writer goes on, look at verse 9 really quick. Just skip over to verse 9. He says, even though I'm speaking to you like this, crazy that I'm telling you could fall away and not get back to Christ. Even though I'm talking like this, I'm confident of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. So in other words, I'm just talking hypothetically. That if you were to do this, though, this is very dangerous to do. But I know that's not happening to you. He's kind of encouraging him. Verse 7, land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives a blessing. I'll explain this, but land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. One of the characteristics of somebody that's in danger of falling away or drifting away from God, from Christ alone, is that they don't have a fruitful life for others. That's what he's just said. It's like you're like ground that the rain falls on it and it doesn't grow anything to give to others. You don't have a fruitful life. You're still immature. You're still like a baby Christian. And you're in danger when you live this way, it could eventually lead to completely falling away from Christ, which could be horrible. So, do I have a fruitful life? I would ask myself. Am I am I growing year by year in fruit, which, wow, we don't have enough time to even, fruits of love and faith and service and hope. And is it useful to other people in my life? That's super important. If that's not happening, or if you know somebody like that, they could be in danger. They could be in danger. Notice one more time, verses 4 and 6. It is impossible, I'm going to put them together, if they fall away, if somebody were to fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. That's a hard couple of verses. I'm not going to claim that I'm going to keep crunching on these all my life, and I think anybody that studies will say, I think it's probably this, like I just sort of told you. I think he's talking hypothetical, because I don't believe somebody, if God has saved you, you're saved. It's either I do works to get saved, and therefore I can work to fall away, or my salvation rests on God's works alone, like we sang in a song this morning, if you read that first song. You see, if God has saved me, I'm saved. That's why Paul writes, I'm convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Does that make sense? But if I worked to get saved, I could work to get unsaved. So I want my salvation to rest on Christ's work alone on the cross for my salvation, and then I'm safe. Then I'm safe. Anyways, that's a tough topic, but we will talk about downstairs. If you'd like to come down, we'll hash it out a little bit more down there when we have time. We could be in spiritual danger if after years and years and years I'm still a baby Christian. You're not ready to go on to Melchizedek because you still need milk, the author says. We could be in spiritual danger if we begin to drift away. We don't have a fruitful life that's bearing fruit for others. That could be a sign that you're drifting away or falling away. The author used drifting away last 2 weeks ago. You're not resting in what we said last week. You're not resting in Christ alone for your salvation. You're trying to work for it. You're going to wear yourself out and drift away or fall away. That's basically the bottom line. No matter if somebody can fall away or not, the writer's saying, just be careful that you don't. So that's like Jesus when he said on the Sermon on the Mount, remember where he says, many are going to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and your name do miracles and everything? And then Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, you who do evil. I don't even know you. Now, I'm thinking, that's not going to be me, Lord. But, you know, that's such an intense statement that I never want to hear that from him, that all my life I check myself. You know what? I don't want to ever hear that, Lord. Does that make sense? Same thing with the falling away thing. I don't want to say, I could never fall away. I don't think I could because I've been saved by his grace. I do believe in the perseverance of the saints, but at the same time, I don't want to get cocky. If there's one thing I've learned in Christianity, is that I used to think, I would never do that. And then I did it. You ever have that happen? Maybe not. I'll tell you, I'll warn you, don't ever think, I would never kill someone. Really? You don't know that. You know what I mean? We're capable of anything. Look at David. You know, I would never have an affair. I don't think I'd ever have an affair, but you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go there because I'm a human and I'm fallible. So you know what? That's the way to get there, is to start having that attitude. So I'm going to always be like, you know what? Guard me against ever doing something like that, Lord. And so the same thing with falling away. The author's saying, just be careful that this doesn't happen in your life. It would be bad. No matter how you want to take it hermeneutically, however you want to interpret this, it would be bad, so just be careful. That's safe. That's safe for us. It would be bad if you're just a baby Christian after all these years. So be careful. That's all. Be careful. Lastly, and this is very important that we will talk about downstairs as well, I'm in danger if I'm not careful to finish well in my faith. The author's saying this, you started off in Christ, don't go back to the law of Moses. You could drift, we talked about that, so rest in Christ alone for your salvation, we talked about that last week, and start growing, because you guys need to be moving forward in your faith and growing as Christians, or you're in danger, and I want you to finish well, and then you'll be saved. Look at verse 9. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God's not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. That's super important in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. But we want you to show the same diligence of growing and having fruit in your life to the end. To the end is until you die or until you meet Christ when he returns out of heaven. He said it this way in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. This is how you know you've come to... So if you think you can fall away, you can't fall away, here's the way to make sure you won't fall away. Is to never quit growing and to finish with the same faith you have now. That is evidence of true salvation. Hebrews 3:14. We have come to share in Christ if, here's that word we're going to talk about, if though we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. I could say that a different way. You have not come to know Christ if you don't hold to the end the confidence you had at first. Does that make sense? In other words, you have to finish your life well, on fire for the Lord, faithful to only him. I'm resting in him. He's my only salvation. And if you finish well, you won't fall away. You won't drift away. So we have to have this mentality. You know, it's like, I don't run very much. But when I do try... You ever run like, you know, I'm going to run 3 miles, and it's like, you know, you just feel like after that last 2 miles, 2.25 miles, you just feel like quitting. You can see the finish line and everything, but you're like tired. For me, it's really hard when I see the finish line to finish things. I start to think, I'm almost done, and I did this in school. Ask my wife. I'm like, I only got a couple more, and you start to get lazy, and just like, you know, you don't drive through and finish. And so this is the same thing with our Christian walk. We have to continue to finish well, or else we could be in danger. We could be in danger, spiritual danger. Here's three things that accompany true salvation, and then we'll quit in the text. In verse 10, there's good works that are motivated by love. Somebody that's truly saved... If we have come to share in Christ, he said in chapter 3, verse 14, if you hold firmly to the end, if you hold firmly to the end in stuff like this, good works that are motivated by love, verse 10, God is not unjust and he won't forget your work and the love you've shown. You have been being land that rains falling on it and you're producing a crop that's helpful for other people, he says. Another thing that accompanies true salvation, as opposed to, I just go to church, I've been saved, and yet there are no works of love. You're like land that doesn't produce any fruit for anybody. Does that make sense? You will have diligence in these things to the end. Somebody that is truly changed by God, truly morally transformed, will have works of love in their life. They'll be like land that produces crop for other people. You'll be a blessing. Your life will be a blessing to others. Somebody that's really been transformed by Christ, you will never quit. So if you were to fall away, you weren't ever really following him. Somebody who's really following Christ and has been changed will never quit. They will finish well to the end. And the only way we'll know that, I think we were talking last week, Jim, about, you know what, we just really can't judge anybody's salvation. Was it last week, I think? You know, even if somebody's a pastor, or even if they look like they're not really, you know, I just can't judge these things. It's not for me to judge, you know. But in the end, we'll know, you know, when you're in heaven. So, you know, it's really, you're proved by finishing well in life. That's what Paul said. You know what, I finished well in 2 Timothy, his last letter, when he's getting ready to be executed. And he's a little bit down. But he's telling Timothy, you know what, though? I've finished well. I've run the race well, and I've finished. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. Lastly, I think that you have might be easy to miss, but things that accompany true salvation could be good role models, good Christian role models. Look at verse 12 really quick, and then we'll end it. We do not want you to become lazy, all right? I don't want you to be on milk. I want you to grow. I want to talk about deep things with you. We don't want you to become lazy, but you know what? Let me just paraphrase this. But, you know, find some people in your life to imitate their faith and their patience. Find some people in your life that you can follow their example of faith, I think Paul said somewhere else. So I think that that's super important, too, that if you have people in your life that you... This could be somebody living. This could be somebody not living, even. Like for me, A.W. Tozer. You know, I always say he's like I feel like he's like a pastor for me in the spirit. Maybe you have those. Just it could be by their books or whatever. There's just people in your life that you say, you know what, I like the way they follow God. I like the result of their life, the fruit that they bore. And I'm being careful. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to be lazy. I want to grow. So I want to imitate their faith. And this is what A.W. Tozer would say. And I try to imitate him. He would say, always be in the Word. And so and you know what? Get down on your knees alone with God, with the Bible open and with a hymnal, he would say, open as well. He says you should have two books on your desk, a Bible and a hymnal. So that's good. And get alone with God and seek him diligently every day. So I look up to him. And so years and years and years ago, I started attempting to do that. Have a deep prayer life. We've talked about that a lot. Be with Christians that are growing as well. These are ways to keep yourself from getting in danger. Always growing, always moving forward, always looking back, just for a moment, not too long, looking back and saying, have I been growing in my faith? If not, am I in the Word? You cannot grow without the Word of God. Without being you can't. That's crazy. That's a crazy statement. But I don't like to argue about a lot of things, but I'll argue that one with you after church if you want. We'll off in the back. You know, just kidding. You have to have a seeking God and a prayer life. And he has to become your all in all, and you won't be in danger. You won't be in danger of becoming a lazy learner. You won't be in danger of falling away. Well, we'll continue on with the book of Hebrews, and we'll continue on with these subjects as they come up in it. But I think that this is the heart of the writer. He's like, I don't want you guys to turn away, to fall away, to drift away from Christ. He alone is enough for your salvation. Father, we thank you again for this short time together, and I do pray that with these pretty tough passages in the book of Hebrews about Melchizedek and about falling away, Lord, that we would approach your word humbly, that we would understand that there's just some things in Scripture we're going to have to crunch on the rest of our lives, and study and meditate on. At the same time, Lord, we do pray that we wouldn't miss the obvious heart of the author, and that is he wants us and these Jewish Christians at this time to never leave Christ alone for our salvation, and to never drift away from him or to fall away from him, and to watch out that we're growing and that we're not just plateaued in our faith, because those are danger signs. So I pray that you would help us as well to never get too confident. I think Paul said everybody should be careful that thinks he can't fall. Everybody who thinks they'll stand, you should be careful in case you fall. He says that. And so I do pray that we would have that same humble attitude of always just being careful and looking out for our faith and looking out for danger signs that maybe we're getting lazy. In Jesus' name, amen.